Vayeshev, the Medrash was bothered with the Shinui Lashon, the description of the way Yaakov Avinu was living in Eretz Yisrael, and the description of the way his forefathers lived. Vayeshev means Lashon Yeshiva. He wanted to have a nice, beautiful home. So if Mugurei Aviv sounds like they were only living at the Sazgerim, not as Toshovim. So that's a Rashi quote from the Medrash, Bikish Yankech Leisha Bishalva. Yaakov Avinu wanted to relax and lead a relaxed life. Kofatzola Brubza Shol Yosef. So the Bali Atesu Sanchumish explained that what the Medrash is driving at is the what? So why did the Rebbeinu Shalom have to give him a hard time? What's so bad? Why can't the Tzaddikim enjoy Olam Hazeh a little bit? So the Bali Atesu say no. In this particular instance, this was an issue because HaKadosh Baruch Hu had already told Avraham Avinu, Kigir Yezarach Beretz Lolohem. So according to this, for 400 years. So where's the 400 years that were only in Eretz Mitzrayim for 210 years? So Rashi and Chumash quotes from the Medrash, from the time of late Asi Yitzchok, they were living in Eretz Yisrael. That's Zarach and Ger Yeh, Zarach and Be'eretz Lolohem. How is Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Lolohem? That they were only living there like Gerim. Eretz Yisrael, Mechazak HaSin, Yad HaSin, and Meis Avram Avinu, already belonged to Avram Avinu, in a certain sense it was Eretz Lohem, it wasn't Lolohem, but it wasn't fully theirs. Taisus writes in Rosh Hashanah that they didn't have the Kinyan Peres, they only had the Kinyan Aguf. And the Nochrim owned the Peres that grew in Eretz Yisrael at that time. Till the days of Yishuv Ben Nun, then they got the Kinyan Peres as well. And Yisrael only had the Kinyan Aguf from the days of Avraham Avinu. So the others had to live in Eretz Yisrael, the Torah's Gerim, in order to fulfill this Nevuah, in order to fulfill the Bris Ben Absar, and Ger Yezarech Beretz Lavahem. So Yaakov Avinu Bikesh Leisha Bishal, but he wanted to lead a relaxed life. So then the Abba Me'ashan are going to be postponed. So the Yitzhak and Tzayim is going to be postponed. So the Rebbeinu Shlom didn't want that to happen. So Kofat Sol, if Rubus HaShol Yosef, he saw to it that even Yaakov Avinu would also lead a life of living in Eretz Yisrael of Geirus, not a life of Shalva. That's how the Bali Atesu Sanchumish The Medrash has an additional comment. There are different suggestions in the Midrash. The Medrash has another comment on the term Megurei Aviv. Pashab Shad is Miloshin Ger. Ger is Arach HaBeres Lolohem, as opposed to Vayeshev, Leshev Bishalvo. The Medrash has another comment that is Miloshin Gerus, that Avram was Megayer. Avram went out and proselytized actively. Today, nobody actively looks for Ger. If people come, they want to convert, so we try to explain to them that it's not so easy to be a Jew. And if they keep on insisting, so then we'll give them a course in Gerus, and we'll give a course in Judaism, and we'll be Mekabel Ger. But we don't actively try to search out candidates for Geirus. But Avram went out of his way to the Megayer people. The Yitzchak went out of his way. And Yaakov also. That's the connotation of the expression Megurei Aviv, that they all went out of their way to be Megayer people. When did this attitude end? Medrash just says that Avram did it, Yitzchak did it, and Yaakov also did it in the footsteps of his forefathers. So when did it end? So there's an interesting comment that the Meshech Chochmah has on last week's Sedra, that all, after all the children were born, after all the Shvatim were born, and Yaakov Avinu returned back to Eretz Yisrael, so it says that he came to the city Shechem, Vayichan Aspnei Ho'ir. So Rashi on Chumash quotes part of that Medrash, Vayichan Aspnei Ho'ir, Erev Shabbos Ho'ir B'shultus D'Rabba Choy Goyen. It's a Medrash. It was Erev Shabbos, when he arrived there, Vayichan Aspnei Ho'ir, so the Medrash has a comment that he made an Erev Eichumen. He was Kovea Tchumen. What does it mean, Kovea Tchumen? What does that Losh mean, Kovea Tchumen? The din is on our Shabbos, our Yetzi Yish Mimkomo. That you're not allowed to go, Chutz Kletchum is based on that Pasuk. There's a Machloikis in the Gemara, whether it's a din derais or a din derabonim, whether Tchumen is derais or derabonim. But those who hold that as derais, they say it's based on that Pasuk. Machloikis, how much is Tchum Shabbos? Rebbe Kiva's opinion is that Alpai Mama is Tchum Shabbos. So that opinion of Rebbe Kiva is not accepted. But there's still an opinion. The Rif and the Rambam counts in the Minyan HaMitzvahs not to go Chutz L'Tchum, not the Tchum of Alpai Mama, but the Tchum of Yudei Smil. The Rambam got it from the Rif, he quoted the Yerushalmi at the end of the first parak in Erevin. That Tchumen of Yudei Smil may be a Din Derais. So the Meshech Chochmah suggests that the idea behind Al Yetzi Yishmim Komo is that a person should, the Jewish people should state to themselves, Yisrael. You don't have to mix in with the Umas Olam so much. You don't have to associate with the others. So that's what he suggests, that at that time, the Pasuk, the Vayeshev follows Vayishlach, but he suggests that that's the connotation of that phrase. Vayichan es pnei ho'ir, he was kaveh atchum Shabbos, means that at that time he realized that all of his children were Jewish, unlike Avram Avinu, who wasn't given that promise that it's going to be mitos shleima. He was told, kibi Yitzchak yikor l'chazera, only Yitzchak and not Yishmael. And then Yitzchak's children were also, Yitzchak had twins, he had Yaakov and Esav, and the same mother, mamish twins, and still, the Yitzchak, well, I call Yitzchak, that Esav was not Jewish. Yaakov was Jewish, Esav was not. And the first one who had mitos shleima, all of his children were Jewish, was Yaakov Avinu. So Yaakov Avinu, when he came back there, it's Canaan, after being away for so long, after having all of the Yud Bei Shvat, and then he came to the realization, he doesn't have to go out and proselytize by the others, he has his own. And from now on, the Jewish nation will be self-perpetuating. I was supposed to be an Orla Goyim. Another Yeshayi says the B'nai Yisrael is supposed to be Orla Goyim. Okay, so it doesn't have to be Orla Goyim by going and running around and proselytizing. Orla Goyim, we'll mind our own business. We'll have our own Medina. We'll keep all the mitzvahs properly, and we'll show all the nations of the world what an ethical person is. We'll try to show the nations. We're supposed to show the nations what an ethical person is supposed to be like, what a religious, what a spiritual person is supposed to be like. So from that time on, that's what the Meshach Chochmah says. From that time on, after all the children were born, and Yankov realized that he was going to be Mitos Shleima, from now on it's going to be a new Anhoge, that all the Jewish people from now on are going to be like that, Mitos Shleima, all the children are Jewish. So from that time on, he stopped proselytizing. The Pasuk describes the way Yaakov Avinu loved Yosef more than the other children. Yisrael Ahavas Yosef Mikol Banav, Ki Ben Zkudim Hulo, and he went out of his way. He also loved Tonis Pasim, and the other brothers became jealous. And the Pasuk continues to say, and the father, the Aviv Shamaris Hadavor, the father was still favoring Yosef, and the way the whole Hishtalshelus Hadavor develops, that they sold Yosef, and then everybody goes to Egypt, and there's a whole Shibud Mitzrayim and everything. So it sounds like a tragedy will befall you if you favor one child more than the other. That's the simple reading of the Sukkim and the Chumash. That's what the Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos. That the moral of the story is that if you have a few children, you shouldn't favor one child over the others. You may in your heart favor one over the others, but you shouldn't show the other children that you favor them. So he goes out of his way and he makes them a Ksonis Patsim, and he showers all of his love Dafkan Yosef. So that's a terrible thing to do. We should learn from the Chumash that we're not supposed to do that. People, modern people today, who think that they're smarter than everybody else, people violate this all the time. It's terrible. Forget about religious Jews, secular goyim. They violate it all the time, and it causes the biggest machlokes in families when the parents favor what demonstrate that they favor one child over the others. The pasuk describes that when Yosef came to the brothers, they were considering killing him. The whole story is wild. So the pasuk says, "Vayishma ruhim vayatzilehu miyadam," and he said, "Lo nakem nefesh al tishpuchu dam hashlichu asa labor azeh." And then the pasuk tells us what was the kavanah of Reuven. Laman hat, he didn't want him to die. He tells the brothers, "Let's not kill him ourselves. Let's let him die a natural death. So let's leave him in the bor, and he'll die from starvation, or he'll be eaten up by the snakes, whatever." So then the pasuk continues to say that that wasn't really his kavanah, that as opposed to killing him the adayim, we should let him die on his own. Laman hatzilosim yadam l'hashivo l'aviv. He planned to sneak back later on and to pull him. Reuben planned to bring him, to get him out of the bond, to bring him back to the front. In fact, the pasuk can say later, Yoshev Reuben alabor, Yosef einenu. When the brothers had sold Reuben, so he wasn't. When the brothers had sold Yosef, it says that Reuven came back and Yosef was missing. So he said, "Vani ani ani bo, v'yoshev alechos." Where is it? V'yoshev Reuven ala bo v'hinen yesh bo v'ikras begodos. He didn't know what to do because he really planned to save him. So there's a famous medrash on this pasuk that says that if Reuven would have realized that the Torah is going to describe his the goodness of his heart, he would have fought with all the brothers single-handedly, and he would have carried the Yosef back to the father. He didn't realize that it's going to be described. The Torah describes what his pure motives were. That's true of all of us. And it's true of Reuven. It's true of everybody. That sometimes we're in a position to really do the right thing. Others are doing wrong. We can really, if we'll stand up for the right thing, we can win. And we're lazy. We don't want to fight so much. It's easier to relax and to let them do. Say, look, it's not my responsibility. It's not my obligation. It's not my responsibility. I was just in a meeting yesterday, so one of the people in the meeting was giving her explanation. It's not our responsibility. We're not achroi. So-and-so is achroi. It's his responsibility. Everybody shifts the responsibility to someone else. If we would all realize the cover that we would get, and we would get covered, if we would all realize the cover that we would get from taking the right position, we would have more oomph, and we would have the courage of fighting the thing through and winning. Rav Chaim Volozhiner writes in the Nefesh HaChaim that the Gemara has an expression, so he says that it's to be understood literally, a person should always do things shalol l'shma. If you're going to wait till you're going to get to do it l'shma, so it'll take forever. A guy's going to learn l'shma. It takes a long time to learn l'shma. A guy has to learn because he wants to get 100 on the final. He wants to get an award at graduation. He wants to get covered. He wants the other students to respect him. A person first wants to do the right thing, that he should be respected as being the one who does the right thing. There's nothing wrong with doing Torah mitzvah shalol l'shma. Le'olam yasakonim Torah mitzvah shalol l'shma. Little children, you do shalol l'shma. They have a getter of shalol l'shma. They want to get a candy. Then when they get a little older, they want to get money, whatever. Then they want to get toys, prizes, whatever. And adults want to do shalol l'shma. They're encouraged also to do shalol l'shma. Covered, whatever. Whatever people find enticing. The encouragement to do things shalol l'shma is much better than the encouragement l'shma. It's very hard to have l'shma. That's a high madrega. The pasuk continues to say the way Yehuda also saved Yosef from the brothers. He says, "Wow, what are we going to leave him in the bar? He's going to die." Abetzer kenarik shachinu v'chisinu azamoi. The first Reuven wanted to save him, and then Yehuda also decided he wanted to save him. Yehuda didn't realize that Reuven was going to come back and save him. He thought they're going to leave him in the bar and he's going to die. So Yehuda was he wasn't the oldest of the brothers, but Yehuda was sort of looked up to as the melech. He was the leader from the whole group. And again, the Gemara in Sanhedrin in the first parak says if Yehuda would have put down his foot, then he would have said, "No, we're not going to sell him. We're not going to leave him in the bar. We're going to take him back to the father, and that's all. We're going to make peace with him. We're going to have it out with the father why he favors him and why Yosef is miserable to us and so on." So they would have listened to him. But he was afraid to fight with the brothers. The melech is not supposed to be afraid. Yehuda was like the melech. He was the leader. No, the leader is not supposed to be afraid. He should insist on doing the right thing, not give in to all the pressures. So he said, instead, because he wanted to save his life. He would have been saved anyway because Reuven would have saved him. So the Gemara says, "Kol hamavarech es Yehuda." Because the pasuk says, "Ubatzeya beirech niyet Hashem." Ubatzeya beirech. There are different interpretations in that pasuk. This is not pshuta shamikra. So the Gemara interprets pshat. Ubatzeya beirech, the one who is mevarech es abotzeya, the one who blesses Yehuda, the one who praises Yehuda for saying mabetzak kinarik es achino. What are we going to get by killing him? That saved his life and so on. Is niyet Hashem. That's a bizoyin for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're not supposed to make compromise with evil. You're supposed to fight against the evil if there's a chance of winning. If you don't stand a chance of winning, so you try to compromise. You try to be matzal hatzol apurta. But if you do stand a very good chance of winning, Yehuda would have won. Reuven would have won also. Reuven was the oldest. And Yehuda would have won. He was the leader of all of the brothers. So they would have listened to Reuven, they would have listened to Yehuda. And neither really did the right thing. In all of life, we're always in circumstances like that. It's easier to relax and to pin the blame on someone else and say, "When you go to the Alamam, if he's going to be held responsible, they're not going to punish me." Yeah, it's uncomfortable to fight with everybody else, but the Torah tells us that that's what we're required to do. They come back to the father and they tell him the whole story that that Yosef is missing. They don't know where he is. They don't know where he is. And they bring him back to Ksona's Pasim, all dipped in blood. And the father recognizes Ksona's Nechaya Roach Alosu. He rips his begotten, Eisaba Abano Yomim Rabim. He keeps on crying and crying over the death of his son. By Yefko, so others. By Moyen Lehisnachem. And he's not able to accept Tanchumen. The Rashi quotes from the Chazal that there's a Gzera Lameis. That when somebody dies, there's a gzera min hashemayim. It's interesting. We usually assume that that's seva advarim. If a person is missing, so he's missing. Person is missing. Let's say a man loses his wife after many years of marriage. So first he's shocked, and he's in avelus, and he's never going to remarry. And then a couple of months go by, and he thinks of remarrying. And then after a while, after gimel chadoshim, after gimel nagolim, he remarries. What's wrong? It's benoik shabbat. After yid beis chaydish go by, so there's a gzeir men amesh, yishtakech men alev. It should be forgotten. That's why they're different in Hawking when you do a hakomas matzeva. So some do the hakomas matzeva for a nifter right before the yid beis chaydish arav, and some do the hakomas matzeva right after the yid beis chaydish arav. So Rabbi Kivegar and Yeridaya quotes from earlier achronim that both are based on this passage in the Gemara, that it's a gzeir amesh, yishtakech men alev, achi yid beis chaydish. So either the matzev is to prevent one from forgetting. We don't want to forget him so quickly. So you put up the matzev, you start reminding yourself of the mace. But soft yourself will be forgotten. So another couple of months will go by, then you forget. And the others have the meaning that you wait till after Yud Beis Chedesh, after you've already forgotten about the mace, and then you put up a matzev to remind yourself about the mace. But our kopponim, we usually think that this is a natural thing, because if the person is not around, how much can you cry, and how much can you keep on remembering and showing? So the Chazal understood it differently. It's only a gzeir ala meis, it's not a gzeir ala chai. If you think the person is dead and he's really alive, so you're not going to forget about him. That's why the pasuk says, "Vayimoyim lehisnachem." That's the Rashi quotes from the Medrash. The gzeir nigzera ala meis below ala chai. An interesting way of looking at life. Rabbi Baruch Ber used to say over the name of Rab Chaim a comment that quoted in the introduction to the Bircha Shmuel, I think the beginning of Bob Metzia, they have in the introduction, that's written by Bob Ber's son-in-law, Rav Reuven Grozovsky. So he heard from his father-in-law, Naim Rav Chaim, that the Midrashim all say on the opening pasuk in Bereishis that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his tackle, Ba'araisa, Baras Olam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu looked into the Torah and he created the world. Torah is the blueprint to the world. Fine, what does that mean? So people usually assume that the Ribbono Shel Olam formulated the din of Laisirtach, and he formulated the din of Laisignai, and so on, not to cheat and not to be mean to other people, because otherwise the whole world would go under. The society would be destroyed. So Rav Chaim said, no. It means that Ribbono Shel Olam looked into the Torah, and he created the world accordingly. The Ribbono Shel Olam, if he wanted to, he could have created a world where Ritzicha would have been the best thing, and where Gneva would have been the best thing, and cheating and lying and everything would have been good. But the Ribbono Shel Olam created the world in such a way because he wanted this to be in his Torah. Ribbono Shel Olam first formulated the Torah, and he decided in his wisdom, in his infinite wisdom, that Ritzicha is a terrible thing because people are created B'Tzalim Elokim. And he decided in his wisdom that Gneva is terrible, and cheating and business and all these things are terrible. So Ramela, he created the world accordingly that it should turn out that it's terrible, so people should understand that it's terrible. But if there wouldn't have been anything terrible about it, he could have created a world differently where Ritzicha would have paid off and where Gneva would have been a wonderful thing. So over here also, everything's fakert from the way we usually think. That's how Rav Chaim interpreted this famous medrash on the opening pasuk in Bereishis. Here also, we usually assume what it means. Zeir ala meis, shishtakech ben alev lacha yibes chedesh. You're going to forget about it. So he said, also, so Rashi quotes in the medrash, no, it's a zeir only ala meis, not ala chai. It's not a natural thing. It's natural because there was such a gzeira in Hashem. There's no gzeira, that wouldn't happen. So people would keep on stopping about the missing child. The pasuk says that finally he wound up, Yosef was sold a few times, sold from one to the other, to the other. He wound up in the home of Potiphar, Shisparo, Sar HaTabachim. So we usually assume that a tabach is a butcher. In Hebrew, a tabach is a butcher. But the psukim say later on that the Egyptians didn't eat any meat, because they worshipped the holy cow. And that's why when the brothers came, so they didn't eat. When they ate with Yosef, they couldn't eat together with the Mitzrayim, because they ate their flesh. They were eating flesh, and the Mitzrayim wouldn't eat meat. And the psukim say later that they had a shech, they called him Pesach. That was their Tavis Mitzrayim. They used to worship these cows. So that was a mysterious nefesh on the part of Bnei Yisrael that they shechted the Korban Pesach. So that's why the Rishonim say over here that the Targum Unkel goes out of his way to say Sarah Tabachim doesn't mean the chief of all the butchers. It means the chief executioner, Rav Kotelaya. Because it can't mean the chief butcher. They didn't eat anything. They were vegetarians. They weren't, I don't know, they weren't vegetarians, but they wouldn't eat flesh. So they didn't eat any butcher shops. He was the chief executioner. The Chazal have a comment, the Medrash has on the pasuk, the first pasuk in Revi. So the Medrash has a comment that he had a big Yerida, because he didn't take his firm stand on the Yesek with Yosef with the brothers. He could have saved them, so he lost the respect of all of the brothers. Doesn't mean that he went away and he did a business deal. It means he went down in the eyes of the brothers. Yosef is taken to Mitzrayim, so the Pesukim say, Vahi Hashem es Yosef, Vahi Ish Matzliach, Vahi Bebeis Adonav HaMitzvah, Vayar Adonav Ki Hashem Ito, V'chol Hashehu Oysa Hashem Matzliach B'yodo. How come he had a Yiddish cup? So he was more intelligent than the Mitzrayim, so he knew how to run the business better than the others. That's what the secular Israelis thought. That the Jews have the Yiddish cup and they'll always win all the wars because they're smarter than the Arabs. But that's not the way the Chazal interpret the Pasuk. The Gemara says in Brachas, that taketh the Talmud Chacham Bracha, because Yosef was a Talmud Chacham, so there's a special Bracha in Hashemai. Taketh the Talmud Chacham Bracha. If you have a Talmud Chacham and you're employed, then the Pasuk promises that you'll have a Bracha. The pasuk describes the way you had big nisyonos, that the boss's wife was only trying to have an affair with him, and he was able to withstand by imoyin. It's a big nisyon. You find today, unfortunately, very very religious Jews who are nichshol and eshesish, and nichshol and all kinds of averus. Married men, single men, all kinds of people violate all kinds of averus. So Yosef HaTzadik is described in the pasuk as being very careful about this. So it says that one fine day, Behi Kayem Azeh. There was nobody there. So then she figured this time she's going to get him. How come there was nobody there? Rashi says it was a religious holiday. Quotes from the Medrash Tanchum, it was a religious holiday. Everybody was in church. She said she didn't feel well, so she went back home. Yeah. Sometimes, yeah, people are very religious, but if they have a big Yetzer Hara for Gilui Arayos or for anything else, for Gneiva, for whatever else people have a Yetzer Hara for, so they'll, religion, yeah, yeah, but if they have the Yetzer Hara, so she excuses herself, she can't go to church today. She has to go to bed, yeah, she has to go to bed. So she goes home. So what does it say, Ve'enish Me'anshi Abayis Shama Abayis? So it should say Ve'enish Babayis. Of course Me'anshi Abayis, who then? So that's what Rashi quotes from the Medrash. There was nobody from the Anshi Abayis, but the Musa Yuchnu Shalom, his Mirasalo Bachalon. He saw his father's image. Yosef saw the image of the father in the Chalon, and this is what held him back from sinning. There was so much pressure placed on him by this Eishes Ish to be Mizana with him, he wouldn't be able to withstand it. And the thing that withheld him from sinning was the fact that he had the image of his father, his Rebbe, in front of his eyes. There were many people who went through the war, children who went through the war, both boys and girls, who were separated from their families and separated from everybody. And everybody in the right and the left, everybody was being killed and maintained their amunah. Exactly for this reason, because the parents told them they should never forget the image of their parents. As an older sister told a younger child that she shouldn't forget what I looked like. And this will remind one of Achoy Vasa Bailomai. It's very important to be dovok and to be kosher to a Rebbe. It doesn't mean his father's image. Musa Yuchnu Shalom, his father was his Rebbe. His Rebbe who taught him, his father taught him the whole Torah, taught him all about religion, taught him the difference between right and wrong. So he always would judge in life, what would my father say about this? Would my father think that it's okay or not okay? Everybody has to have a Rebbe. And even if the Rebbe dies, you have to imagine in your mind, what would the Rebbe have said about this case? One of the Bali Atesus, I think, says on the Pasuk, on this... he imagined but the image of the father was there. The Pashup Shat is that he imagined the image of the father. That's the Pashup Shat. What do you mean Bahalom? As if his father's looking in the window, looking over his shoulder and shaking a finger. What are you doing? What are you about to do? So one of the Bali Atesis I can suggest that on the opening Pasuk it says, Vuhu Na'ar. As Bnei Bilda, as Bnei Zilpa. What do you mean? Who na'ar? The second pasuk in the parsha. So the Medrash has a comment. He could have interpreted differently. The Pashup Shat could be that he was childlike. He was very innocent and pure. The Medrash says he was childish. You can interpret the pasuk. Some Rishonim say, but who na'ar means he was childlike, very tmimizdik. That's why the father loved him. Because he was a tmimizdik child. He wasn't a wise guy. But the Medrash interprets an additional level of interpretation that it means Vuhunar, he was childish, he was always looking in the mirrors and the salsa basaro, always combing his hair to make sure that he looks good. And there's another Medrash that says that Yosef looked, Eila told us Yankif Yosef. What does it say? Yankif Avina had 13 children, had all the Shvatim with Dina. So why is Eila told us Yankif Yosef? So the Medrash says because he looked like his father. So if he put these two together, that he was always looking in the mirror to see what he looks like, and that his facial features look like the father, so that's what they interpret. The Musa Yuchnu Shalom Nirus Alo B'Chalon, that the Chalon was a glass that wasn't a clear glass that you can see through. It was a glass that was shining. So he looked at himself in the window, and he saw the image of his father. He saw his own image. And now he looked like his own image reminded him of his father. And then he started to think, not that he imagined that his father was looking and waving a finger, but rather that he saw his own image, and this reminded him of what his father looked like, and he thought to himself, what am I doing? What am I about to do? What would my Rebbe say about this? What would my father say about this? Anyway, the Pasuk says that he was Nitzal. That's why he's called Yosef HaTzadik. He was Nitzal from violating the Avera. He was given the ability to interpret the Midrashim in the open. At the beginning of the Parsha starts off, he was given the ability to interpret the Chalaimus. The Parsha begins with Chalaimus, and the Parsha ends with the Chalaimus. The Chazal say in Brochus, in the last parak in Brochus, that the Chalaimus, Echad Mishishim B'Nevuah. Echad Mishishim B'Nevuah could mean that the Nevuah, the Chelek HaNevuah, is bottled B'Shishim. So you have 59 parts, something else, and one part. If you have treifas, if you have 60 to 1, then it's batel b'shishim. If you have 59 to 1, it's sometimes batel, sometimes not batel. Depends whether it's nice and tam or not. So we always require shishim. But sometimes the chelek hanevuah could be batel than the chalom. The chazal say, ein chalom below devar metelim. Rashi says on the pasuk that when he told the nevuah, that shemesh vayirech mishtacha b'imli, the shemesh and yirech are the father and the mother, so how can the mother bow down? The mother had died already. So that's what Yaakov Avinu was making fun. Your mother died already. So Rashi quotes from the Gemara in Brachas, in a chalom below Dvar Metelim. In a chalom, there's going to be 59 units of Dvar Metelim, not just one unit, and 59 is Emes. The chalom is Echad Neshishim in Nevuah. One chelik of the chalom is going to be Nevuah. It's a little bit of Nevuah. You have to know how to single out that part that's Nevuah. That's why the Gemara has it in, that if a person has a chalom ra, and he's petrified over the halom. This person has a halom ra, and he just wakes up in the morning and forgets about it, doesn't bother him. So nothing. But if he has a bad dream that he's going to die, or that there's someone else, someone dear to him is going to die, or something like that. So the Gemara says that dinyi mechuyif to fast, even on Shabbos, even on Yontif we pass. Shabbos is not Gemara, Yontif is a machlekes. We pass it even on Yontif, one is obligated to fast the tainus halom. Because if the person takes it to heart, so he should really be concerned that chelik of the chalom may be the chelik hanevuah. Anyway, here, both in the beginning and in the end, these chalomis were divrei nevuah. You just have to know how to pick out which part is the dvar b'tenu, which part is the nevuah. So that's what he says in the beginning of Parshas Miketz. He says, so alekim yanes shalom paro. He says, bilodai. I don't have, it's not a chokhmah. Not something that you can figure out on your own which chelik of the chalom is the nevuah, which chelik is dvar b'telem. It's like an inyan of ruach hakodesh to be able to interpret a chalom properly. So Yosef had that ability; he knew how to interpret. That's why that's what the Balei HaTesis say. What was he stupid? Why did he have to tell the brothers about his chalom if he didn't realize that they didn't get along with him? They couldn't speak. And then he saw that they don't get along, and then he tells him the dream, and then he tells him another dream, and then Rashi writes on another pasuk, he had many more dreams. The pasuk only writes two of the many dreams. Al chalom osof, there were more dreams than the two that are mentioned in the pasuk. So where is this chachman that he keeps on telling over all the dreams? So the Balei HaTesis on Chumash states that he felt that this was a nevuah that he had to tell to the others, and if he's not going to tell the dreams, he'll be kovish nevuah. Sometimes there are different types of nevuah. Sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a nevuah that's only for you. Sometimes he gives a nevuah that you should deliver to others. Nevuah means nivsvasayim, to deliver it, to pronounce it with your lips, to say over the words. So he somehow felt, I guess, Baruch HaKadosh, that these were nevuahs that had to be delivered to the others. He had to tell the brothers. He felt that if he doesn't tell the brothers, it will be in violation of the Kovish Nevuah. Kovish Nevuah is one of the people of Chai Misa B'day Shammai. See, at the end of the Seder also, he had after the Ruach HaKodesh to interpret the Nevuahs, to interpret the Chaloimus of the Sar HaMashkin and the Sar HaOfim, and he interpreted them correctly. As he interpreted, that's what happened in another 3 days. Yom Huledus as Paro, he made a big party, a birthday party, and the Sar HaMashkin got back his job, and the Sar HaOfim was killed. That's how the Parsha ends off. There's a famous comment that's made by the Zohar on the Pasuk about celebrating birthdays, that the Jews usually celebrate Yahrzeit. There's nothing wrong with celebrating birthdays, but the Jews usually commemorate or observe a Yahrzeit. Why is there, what is the difference between the birthday and the Yahrzeit? So the Zohar gives a mashal that when a ship goes out, years ago it used to be a big sakana when a ship went out on the ocean. They had no contact with the people on the dry land. If they'd be a sakana or something, they would drown. There would be no way to save them. Today it's a different world. But years ago, they used to make a big celebration when a ship would go out, and they would drink and have a party. So the Zohar says, what are they partying about? They may all get killed. The whole ship may sink. There may be a storm. at sea, and they'll all drown. When they come back alive in one piece, then they should really make a party. So that's what the Zohar draws this parallel, that when a baby is born, you never know what's going to be with the baby. He may grow up to be a big tzaddik, may grow up to be a big Russia, may turn into a Hitler. Who knows what's going to happen? When the person dies with a good reputation, with a shame toast, that's an occasion for celebration. So as after the immediate death of the person, you have to observe Avelus, not just if he's worth mourning over, if there's some value in him. If the person dies and he's a Russia, then you celebrate, then you don't observe any Avelus. But if he had some redeeming features to him, if there was something good about the person who died, then the immediate response should be, immediate reaction should be, to observe Avelus. But then after a while, you should celebrate on the yard site. It is an occasion of celebration that he went back to heaven, his neshama went back to heaven in a pure state, or in a fairly pure state, even if it's not 100% pure. And a fairly pure state means he survived all of life's sakonas, and he came out in one piece. So that's what the Zohar makes such a comment, that by the Yom HaSoilim they celebrate the Yom HaLevis, and by us we place more significance on observing the Yard site. The question is it an Isra of Chukas Akum to celebrate birthdays? There's some write that it's an Isra of Chukas Akum. So the only place in Tanakh that you have anybody celebrating a birthday is over here. And the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, the first parak also says that the Nochem used to celebrate, the kings of the Nochem used to celebrate the birthdays, like the Pesach in the Sedra. And others say that it's not a Chukas Akum. There's nothing wrong, but the more significant is to celebrate a Yard site of a Tzaddik. The Gemara has such an expression that when a tzaddik passes away and his holy neshama goes back to heaven, a pure neshama goes back. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sos v'sameach on the neshama, like a chosn is so excited over meeting his kala after they get married. So too, the Rabban Shimon is so excited that the neshama comes back in one piece in a state of purity. The Gemara in the end of Ma'id Katan has different hespedim that they delivered over different tzaddikim. So they mentioned, the Gemara mentions this in the hespedim. Anyway, in the dream of the Sar HaMashkin, the word kos appears four times. So in the Gemara, in the end of the Psochin, the Mishnah makes a mention of the Takanas Chacham that you should have arba koses on Pesach night. And the Yerushalmi there has different suggestions about the Takana. What was the Takana based on? So one of the opinions in the Yerushalmi is because the word kos appears four times in the Chaloim of the Sar HaMashkin. And the Yetzias Mitzrayim had to do with this. This was the beginning of Shibud Mitzrayim. This is the beginning of Golos Mitzrayim. That's one suggestion. And then the other suggestion is a famous suggestion. Keneged Dalad B'Shayna Shal Geula. Keneged in Yerushalmi says Keneged Dalad Geulois. The Midrashim say Keneged Dalad Geulois. It doesn't say Keneged Dalad B'Shayna Shal Geula. Four parts of the Geula. The Magen Avraham in Hilchas Brichas Hamazon quotes from the Shaloh HaKodesh that when a person recites a bracha lakos, he's supposed to hold it. The Gemara says in brachas in Perek Shlosh Shochem, when you bench mezum and alakos, so he's supposed to pick up the kos magbio tefach me'al ha'shulchan, or me'al ha'karkas, he's sitting on the floor, so he pick it up the tefach from the floor. So how exactly are you supposed to hold the kos in your hand? So the Shaloh, quoted by the Magen Avraham, recommends he should hold it in a bekobedik way, the same way the Chumash describes paro holding the kos. It says, v'etan es ha'kos ha'kaf paro. In his dream he puts it al kaf paro, and then it says in real life that's what happened. What do you mean al kaf paro? Instead of holding the cup like this, he should hold it like this. And then the later acharonim have two versions exactly what does this mean. So the kaf really means this part of the hand. So if you're holding the kos al kaf paro, you should hold it like this. You should hold the kos like this on the kaf. And others say no, you should hold it like that. Usually the Hasidim are more medactic about this than the Misnagim, because the Shaloh has things of the Kabbalah. So this is from the Shaloh. So the Hasidim, there are different versions exactly, whether you can hold the kos on the kaf literally, or you hold it on the fingers. Yeah, the Gemara in the end of Ma'ikotan has that. The Amoraim used to celebrate on the 50th birthday, on the 60th birthday, that the Vayotze Mechlal Kores and Mechlal Misa B'day Shamayim. Right, that's what the Gemara says. Gemara says that Kores is that you die at the age of 50. Misa B'day Shamayim, you die by the age of 60. So one who reached the 50th birthday was Yotze Mechlal Kores. One who reaches the 60th birthday is Yotze Mechlal Misa B'day Shamayim. That's the Gemara, the end of next or last Daf Amayit Kores. Yeah. You see, the Misa B'day Shamayim is less than Kores. Misa B'day Shamayim give you another 10 years. If in the garden quotes the Chavis Yoyer, that at the age of 70 one should make a Sudas Haidoya, a Sudas Mitzvah, that you mention a thing of Behem Shivim Shana, the person lives through a whole life. And then he quotes the Chavis Yoyer, says that you should say Shachyana. So that's a question, whether you should really say Shachyana, B'Shem at Malchus, when you reach the age of 70. In the biography of Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, they write that when the Chafetz Chaim reached the age of 70, Rabbi Chanan was learning in Vaden in Yeshiva. So the Chafetz Chaim took him to a side room, and he drank L'chaim with him, and he said, Shachyana B'Shem HaMalchus, based on this Chavetz here. The question is whether that biography is reliable, because there are a lot of Baba Mises there. There are a lot of stories that some of the Talmidim of Rabbi Chanan Wasserman who gave information didn't realize that this was serious business. So they were just giving imagination. They told all kinds of things. So the whole two volumes, the Or HaChon, the whole two volumes are suspect. But that's what it says there, among other things. Rashi at the end of the parsha quotes the Medrash that Yosef did something wrong over here. Yosef mentioned to the Sarah Mashkim, you're going to get your back job, you're going to get your job back, and don't forget to get me out of this prison. Etc. So the parsha ends off, he didn't remember him. Nothing. Only 2 years later, the indication of Sanyam and Paro has a Haloim. So then the Sarah Mashkim remembered, oh, you need someone to interpret the Haloim. He tried all the different Yoatzim. I didn't like their interpretation. Then the Sarah Mashkim remembers that. Yosef is in prison, he knows how to interpret dreams. So for 2 years he didn't remember. So the Midrashim say that the Pashup shot in the parsha is there was an accident of history over here. That Parah had two dreams, the cows and the Shibolim swallowing each other. Strange dreams, he didn't know what to do with the dreams, and he asked for an interpretation. And then the Sarah Mashkim remembered that Yosef is in prison. So it sounds like based on this accident, based on these dreams that Parah had, that's how Yosef got out of prison. If not for Parah's dreams, he would have rotted away in prison another couple of years. So the Medrash says just the reverse, that Parah was given the dreams min HaShamayim in order to get Yosef out of prison. That Yosef was punished min HaShamayim, that he should stay in prison for 2 years. He was punished that he has to stay in prison for 2 years. So then, by indication of Sanyam, the 2 years were up, the punishment was up, so the punishment caused that Parah should have a dream. What was the cause and what was the effect? It's not that the cause was that Parah had a dream and the effect was that Yosef got free. The cause was that it's time for Yosef to go free. His punishment was up, the 2 years are up. And then the effect was that Parah had a dream, and that was the method of getting Yosef out of the prison. Why was he punished to stay in prison for another 2 years? Because he asked the Sarah Mashkim to get him out. Isn't one obligated to try to do his shtadlus? A guy sitting in prison should just say, kill him. If he sees another human being, he shouldn't scream, get me out of here. Speak to the president, speak to the governor, speak to my parents, get me out of here, try to save me. What's the aver over here? That's a big problem. That's what all the Mefarshim talk about. So the Beit HaLevi has a famous comment where he suggests that the degree of Hishtadlus that one is mechuyev to do, we are mechuyev to do Hishtadlus. It's not some good idea. The Pasuk says that when the enemy comes to wage war against the Nei Yisrael, they have to fight. They shouldn't just sit there and say Tehillim and learn. They have to say Tehillim and they have to learn and they have to go prepare an army. They have to have a standing army and they have to fight back. As obviously there's a chayvus hishtadlus. But the question is, to what extent, to what degree is one obligated to do the hishtadlus? So the Beis HaLevi says that this depends on each person individually, what degree of bitachon the person is on. The higher the degree of bitachon that the person has, so the less the person is mechuyav to do hishtadlus. And the less bitachon, the closer one is to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tzadikim al lamayla min hateva, Bnei Yisrael al lamayla min hateva, Ein mazal Yisrael, Klal Yisrael al lamayla min hateva, an unusual tzadikim al lamayla min hateva. One is not permitted to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Nisim. We discussed it. The Ramah says that that reciting Allah Nisim and benching is only a minig. It's not a din. So therefore, the din is that if one, even in Shemoneh Esrei, when it is a requirement, when it is a takana, so if a person forgot the Allah Nisim, he doesn't have to daven over Shemoneh Esrei. But in the Birchas HaMazon, for sure not. You don't bench over because reciting Allah Nisim in the Birchas HaMazon is only a reshus, the Gemara says. It's not a chayvam. So the Ramah says, though, in Hilchus Birchas HaMazon, what if one forgot to say Allah Nisim and benching, he doesn't bench over. He's not allowed to bench over. It'd be a bracha levatola. But he recommends that when he says all the harachmas and say harachmas, he asks Allah Nisim, harachmas, he asks Allah Nisim in the floors, geshem shasis Allah b'seinah b'yamam b'hem azman azed, then he recites b'nei matiso b'nyechanan, etc. So the Shari Tshuva, and that Ramah quotes a kasha from the Bechor Shor, an ancestor of his. How can you ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do Nisim in the floors? It says in the Mishnah and Brachas, in the beginning of Perek HaRoi, the last Perek, that one is not permitted to ask for a miracle. If one's wife is pregnant, and he already has so many boys, and he wants a girl, he has so many girls, and he wants a boy, you're not permitted to pray that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should see to it that the baby should be a boy, baby should be a girl. You're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to make a nest. And it's also to be mispalach for a nest. So how come over here in the bench, and we say, Rachman Yasalon and Nisim in the floors? So the Shari Tshuva quotes from the Bechor Shor are three klolim, that there are three nisim that you're allowed to ask for. First of all, you're permitted to ask for a nes nista. You're not allowed to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to make a nes nigla. But a nes nista b'derech hateva, that's okay. That's what we say in Shemoneh Esrei. Ani tzecha shebechol yom imana. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does nisim nistarim every day. That's what we call hashgacha pratis. Then he says, secondly, even to ask for a nes nigla, if it's on behalf of the whole Klal Yisrael, that is permissible, because the Gemara says, Ein mazal Yisrael, Klal Yisrael is l'malem in ateva. Aye, but the Gemara in Tainus in the second parak tells many stories about tzaddikim who ask for personal nisim for themselves, not only on behalf of Klal Yisrael. So he says, unusual, big tzaddikim, Kosh Abchamid and Ben Daisa and all the other Tanoim and Amoraim who ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for nisim, an unusual tzaddik is also like Klal Yisrael, that is l'malem in ateva. So that's what the Beis HaLevi develops that theme over here. So he says, depending on how close the person is with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that will determine what degree of hishtadlus is mechuyav to do. So if a person is closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's l'mayla min hateva, so let him dive into the Ribbono Shel Olam, Ribbono Shel Olam will take care of it. What is he asking, what is he doing other hishtadlus for? So Yosef on his madrega bitochain, Yosef was such a tzaddik, such a high madrega bitochain, to him, this was an avera. To ask the Saramashkin king, Zachatani Yitzchak, this was an avera. If it would have been someone else, it would have been on a lower level of bitachon, not so close with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Adirabba, it would have been obligatory to ask the Saramashkin, to ask 100 people to try to send as many letters as possible, to get out as many messages as possible to get him out of prison. The Beis HaLevi claims that that's the pshat in the closing medrash, the closing Rashi on the Parsha. Shenemar, the fee Shatola Yosef was relying on the Samashkin to get him out, that's why he was punished to stay in prison for another 2 years. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Ashrei HaGever Asher Shem Hashem Yiftachai, Ze Yosef. Praise should be the man who places all of his bitachon, his trust in God. That refers to Yosef. Yosef was the one who violated that. How does the Medrash say that Yosef says, V'lafana over Havim, Sate Chazav? That refers to the Mitzrim. The Mitzrim were Ahavim and Sotei Chazov. The other Rabbi, Yosef violated it. How does the Medrash say, Rashi doesn't quote the whole Medrash, but the Medrash says, Ashrei HaGever, it's the praises of the man, Asher Som Hashem Yiftachai, Ze Yosef. The other Rabbi, Yosef violated it. So he says, no, that's what it means. Yosef, in his general Hanhoge, felt very close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He always had a very high level of Bitochen. So that's why in this instance, this constituted an Aver for him. Here he was Nichshol. For another person that doesn't feel so close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this would be included in the mitzvah Hishtadlus. He would be obligated to ask as many people as possible. The Chazon Ish has in his Kuntres Emunah Bitochana also an interesting discussion of this medrash. He says everyone has a chayvus ishtadlus. He doesn't go into the details of the Beis Halevi, different degrees of ishtadlus. He just says everyone has a chayvus ishtadlus, but you have to do things that are meaningful. You have to do things that are significant, that there's a chance that maybe this will help you. Let's say there's a mouse that's running around in the prison. Yosef is going to tell the mouse, when you run outside, tell the people to get me out of the prison. So that shows that he's already mamish holding, he's going crazy. He flipped his lid. What is he telling the mouse gets me out of the prison? It's not going to get him absolutely anywhere. To tell a human being, that's one thing. To tell a mouse is nothing. So just grasping at straws for a person who feels that all is lost already. So he interprets that that's what the medrash meant. Well, Atzvan el Rahavim, the Sate Chazav, that refers to the Mitzri. You ask a Mitzri to do a favor for you, it's absolutely meaningless. So the fact that to ask normal people to do a favor, get me out of the prison, that would have been meaningful. But to ask the Mitzri to repay the kindness, I interpreted your dream, Latoivan, you're going to see it's going to happen, and get me out of here, that was like resting at a straw. So obviously he had lost all of his bitachon at that time, otherwise it wouldn't have even occurred to him to do such a meaningless act of requesting the taiva from the Saramash. That's what the Chazon Ish suggests. That's a beautiful kuntres, emunah bitochen. It's a beautiful style Hebrew. The Chazon Ish invented his own style Hebrew. He wrote his own poetry, his own everything his own. Like Rav Soloveitchik also had his own style Hebrew. Not at all, no one else writes like that. Someone just told me over at Russia that Talmud Chacham gave on the Gemara in Shabbos and Daf Chof Aleph and Beis. The Gemara quotes a brisa from Megillah Sinus, my Chanukah, that says it's an 8-day holiday, then it's